27th of April, 2007.
We is heavy, man. I told her what Sony and Microsoft make wrong, Nintendo would turn into a right. The sun always shines on the side of Nintendo Wii system. Now what, all y'all? We gon' praise Shigeru Miyamoto, and we gon' praise Wii up in here today. Gaming never gonna be the same. Now we got the Wii. Wanna understand about that?
When I play my Wii, I feel intense.
Listening to the Random Rambles of Jay.
Number 8, mate!
Hello! I'm back again after almost 2 months. How are you all? I hope that you are all well and good. And I know it has been a long time. I've actually done this Random Ramble so many times. I've hopped on the mic on several occasions, and every time I hopped on the mic, I'd talk for about 2 minutes and then I'd just be sat there kind of twiddling my thumbs like, oh, I don't know what else to say. Or I'd just ramble on and just kind of tail off and think, you know what, this is going nowhere, and turn off the mic. I've got about 3 different versions of this Random Ramble on my computer, and I'm just sick of thinking to myself, that's not good enough, that's not good enough, that's not good enough. I just want something out. So here is the final product. The finalized Random Ramble of number 8. And yeah, really, I always do that, don't I? Yeah. But aside from me hopping on the mic and thinking, oh, that's not good, or oh, I've got nothing to say, I've had a lot on my plate. University, I've had quite a few assignments to hand in and do over the past couple of over the past few weeks, and they've kind of been consecutive. So it's like I have one hand in 1 week, then another hand in another week, then another hand in the following week. And I had a hand in Tuesday. I had an assignment hand in. So it's just kind of been non-stop working on assignments, and in between that, having to work my job and then blogging. In between that, trying to find the time to play games. I still haven't completed Final Fantasy XII, but I'll talk more on that later. And I recently bought Hotel Dusk for my Nintendo DS, and I haven't really had much time to sink into either of those titles. And I've still got one more uni assignment to hand in May. And then I've got an exam, a surprise exam in May. An exam I didn't think I'd have to sit until August, and I'm having to sit it in May. So I'm like, oh, good. So I'm probably not really going to have any downtime until June, but I always prioritize wrong, so I'll probably mess up somewhere along the line. But I've had quite a bit on my plate. And then not only that, some bastard crashed into my car a while back, which is always fun. So I've had quite a bit on my plate, and not much of it related to gaming. Even my blog's taken a bit of a hit. I used to post at least 5 posts a day on my blog. Now sometimes I post 1. There's days I don't post at all. And for those of you listening who also check out my blog, this is the reason why. I usually do posts on my blog about why I don't update and whatnot, but I thought I'd save it for the random ramble. It gives me something to talk about, and that's the reason why. Lots of uni assignments, having to deal with all this insurance crap with my car, and just not, and just where I'm always working on these uni assignments, I'm usually up for like 24 hours straight. And so it's like by the time I've gone into uni and handed in my assignment, I come home, I just crash out and go to bed. So I've just had very little time to do anything. I'm kind of going through a period right now where I feel like there aren't enough hours in the day. So that's that. But hopefully it should all settle down in June, during the summer holidays. I really can't wait for the summer holidays, because it's just ever since I started this new year at uni, it's just been there's been very little downtime for me to kind of just chill and just relax and just breathe. So I really can't wait for the summer holidays, really can't wait. But I've got a couple of other things I'm going to talk to you about today. One, I'll be talking about Final Fantasy XII. Now, I posted on Final Fantasy XII on my blog twice. Now, I posted initially when I got the game, and then there was a couple of periods in the game where I was pissed off and I would just post on my blog just effing and blinding, dropping F-bombs left, right and centre about this game shit, I hate it. But I haven't really talked much about the game itself and what I feel or how I feel about the game. You'll get to hear my take on the game and what I think of it over the duration of this random ramble over the course of this podcast. And I'll also be talking a little bit about Hotel Dusk, which I'm not going to say anything about that game, but I will be talking about that later, so make sure you stay tuned, and I will be back after this. These are the random rambles again. So I bought Final Fantasy XII. Oh, good. I'll say that again. I bought Final Fantasy XII. Sounds better. The weekend it came out. I think it came out February the 20-something. God, I'm better at remembering dates than I thought. It's quite sad that I can remember the dates and months that games came out, but yet I failed to remember relatives' birthdays. Yeah, February the 23rd. Wow. And I still haven't completed it. Why? Because the game sucks. FF12 is so boring. It really is boring, and I just can't be bothered to play that game. I really can't be bothered. I need to pronounce my THs better. The problem that I have with Final Fantasy XII, or the problem that I have initially, is that I don't understand why other reviewers reviewed it so highly. I mean, unless you go on something like GameFAQs. GameFAQs, I'd say it's 50-50. Half of the reviews are really negative, half the reviews are positive. But in terms of well-known, well-established editorials such as IGN, GameSpot, and a lot of blogs out there, official blogs that review games, FF12 was receiving 8s, 9s and 10s. Actually, not even so much 8s, 9s and 10s across the board. And everyone was saying, it's the best Final Fantasy game on PlayStation. The plot is amazing. The battle system is revolutionary. So hearing all of that, I was always skeptical about the direction that Square Enix took with Final Fantasy XII. But upon reading all these reviews, I was like, oh, okay, this game actually might be the one. I'll give it a shot. I wasn't a big fan of Final Fantasy X, but you know, I'll buy this, being a Final Fantasy fan and all. And when I bought the game, and then I started playing it, I was just like, those bastards lied to me. How dare they? They told me this game was a 10 and it's more like a 4. It's awful. I think 12 is shit. Absolute shit. The game is toilet paper. Why is it toilet paper? Because you wipe shit with it. The game is awful. And I don't care what anyone says. I actually haven't completed the game yet. And I'm telling you, I'm not sure how far into the game. Actually, I am sure. I think I'm near the end. It's difficult to say because there hasn't really been much of a build-up at any point in the game. You kind of just coast along through it. But I think I am towards the end of the game now. And my aim is to get it completed by next week. I think that's doable. But it is such a boring game. It's just every time I switch my PlayStation on and I see the title screen, I'm like, oh, I've got to sit through this bullshit. The game is rubbish. It's not an 8, it's not a 9, it's not a 10. The game is a 4, 5 at best. I just think it's a whack game. It's one of the weaker Final Fantasy games. I'll give you several reasons why in a mo, but I think one of the main reasons why I initially disliked this game is because it reeks of Final Fantasy 9. Final Fantasy 9 was god awful. That game was absolute shite. I never should have let that disc in my PlayStation. Never should have let that disc in my console. The game was just awful. It was just four discs of tat. Four discs of absolute tat. The graphics were awful. The music was awful. The FMV looks hot. I will give it that. But the ending was crap. The plot was crap. The battle system was crap. Final Fantasy IX was just rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Toilet paper, people. That's what Final Fantasy IX was. Toilet paper. You wipe your nose. You wipe your ass with it. You wipe up sick with it. Toilet paper. That's what that game was. And 12 is very, very reminiscent of number 9. Even the main character looks similar to the main character of number 9, minus a monkey tail. It's just really bad, and I just don't like the game. And I'm going to try to cover everything, because whenever I do these kind of random rambles, I always forget something. But, right, what should I start with? The characters. Now, the characters in Final Fantasy 12 are not designed by Tetsuya Nomura. And you can kind of tell Tetsuya Nomura has a very particular style about the way he designs characters, and straight away you could tell it's not him. But still, the characters look brilliant. They look very memorable. They look original. Well, I'll tell a lie. Some of them, for the most part, they do look original. They're memorable characters. They look cool. They're well designed. Their costumes are cool. But the problem with the characters is they seem like empty vessels. All of the characters in this game just seem so empty and so hollow. And none of the characters really get much of a development. Another issue with Final Fantasy XII is that there isn't really a main character as such. I mean, with Final Fantasy VII, the main character was always Cloud. Every other character in that game got development as well, but the main character was always Cloud. Number 8, it was Squall. Number 9, it was... Actually, number 9, it was kind of... It kind of had two main characters. It was Zidane and Princess Garnet. Number 10, the main characters were Yuna and Tidus, but it was Tidus' story as such. And so with number 12, it feels different because there isn't really a main character. And not only that, but the characters don't really play that big a role in this game. They're very passive. In previous FF titles, it was always the characters that came to the forefront. The characters carried the story. The characters were everything in previous Final Fantasy games, and that was always what attracted me to Final Fantasy games, especially number 7 and also number 6, is that these characters had you feel emotions and feelings that you never thought you could feel for a video game character. Final Fantasy was always about the emotions of these characters and how what goes on around them affects them. And in 12, that is just completely void. It's missing. And it really does hurt the game. You don't really care enough for any of these characters, and that's the problem. And that's something that I noticed straight away. That the characters could just be anybody, and it's a real shame because the characters are well voiced. They look brilliant. The characters have this really unique style, especially Fran looks really cool, and Princess Ash looks really cool. And I'm not sure what a princess is doing wearing a skirt that short and boots that high and thighs that thick, but Ash looks cool. She looks very cool. But the characters are just wasted in this game. And then that also brings me onto the plot, which a lot of reviews and editorials really praise the plot. I actually think the plot's really weak, mainly because there hasn't... I mean, I'm not at the end of the game yet, so I can't speak for the final moments of the game. But so far, there hasn't really been any climactic build-ups. And in previous FF games, there was always moments in the plot where there was a major build-up to something. And it was this build-up and this feeling of, oh, something's going to happen soon, that spurred you to play the game. Final Fantasy XII, there's just nothing that happens in this game that really drives me to want to play it and drives me to want to see the plot through. Boring. The plot isn't interesting at all. It really, really isn't interesting. And the plot's been done before. Because Final Fantasy IX, it was a similar plot. Actually, like I said, Final Fantasy XII is a lot like number 9. Even some of the locations look exactly the same. The game is very linear. And also, the pace of the game and the way it plays is really shit. Because the way it pretty much works is that, oh, there's a temple on the shore of, insert name of temple here. There's a stone there, we have to go and retrieve it. You trek along some plain or some field or some mountain for ages, fighting battle after battle, the same looking enemies and the same attacks, casting the same spells. Then after a while, you end up at this temple. Then you've got to traverse through the temple, solving crap puzzles, fighting the same enemies, casting the same spells, and then you fight a boss. A boss who more than likely is going to skank you and kill you, which I'll talk about in a bit. And then you beat the boss eventually, and then you get this stone. Then it's like, oh, this is the magic stone that allows this. Oh, but to complete this, you have to get this other stone to complement it, or you have to get this weapon that goes with it. So you have to go back to some other town, listen to some story about where this other temple is. Then you've got to traverse over another field or another plane, getting to this temple, fighting the same enemies, casting. You see where I'm going with this? It's just, it never breaks up. It's just, fight lots of battles over some plane, go to a temple, fight loads of battles in this temple, get a stone, stop, repeat. And that's all you do throughout the game right until the end. And it's just shit. It's shit. It's not interesting. It's boring. I hate it. You know, whoever was responsible for the pace of this game needs to be sacked. Because I don't ever want to play another game that they're involved with. It's just shit. And another problem with this game, I mentioned bosses skanking you out. This happens a lot. But every boss, you'll be kicking its ass, you'll get its life right down to about a quarter, and then all of a sudden, its defense goes right through the roof, its offense is off the chart, and it's killing your character straight away. Like, I was fighting a boss yesterday, I was beating this boss something chronic, I was thinking, right, this boss is easy. Then I got his life right down to about a quarter, and he hit one of my characters, killed them, hit another one of my characters, killed them in one hit, hit another one, and the next thing I know, the screen goes red and it's game over. And it's just, every boss, this is a, like I said, it's a reoccurring theme with every boss, that you'll hammer their energy right down, and then all of a sudden their attacks will just get insanely powerful, and you haven't even, and then it turns into a battle with yourself to keep characters alive and keep their health up and cast protective spells, but you can't even get these spells out, because in between trying to cast them, you're getting your ass kicked. Rubbish. It's not fun. It's not even really a challenge. It's just a piss take, an absolute piss take. It's just like a cheap shot to try and make the bosses harder. It wouldn't be so bad if the bosses were difficult throughout the duration of the battle, but then they kind of make the boss easy right down until it has near enough no life, then they start bringing out the big guns. Piss off with that. It's rubbish. It's stupid, shitty boss battles. And also with normal enemies, now I'll tell you this, if you are surrounded by more than 4 enemies, chances are you're going to die. This is something that really annoyed me very early on in the game, where you'd be fighting enemies, before you know it, you've got 5 of them surrounding you, and you're dead. Not fun. It's not fun. And not only this, but the save points are so far apart. In Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10, you'd usually have a save point right before you fight a boss. You kind of knew when you were going to fight a boss in these games. Final Fantasy 12, it's not the case. There have been so many times I thought to myself, crap, there's no save point. Oh, I'm sure there'll be a save crystal right before the boss. Let me just go through this door. And then all of a sudden, and I'm fighting a boss. And I'm like, oh my god, I've leveled up 5 levels. I've gotten all these spells, all these license points, all of these items. If I die here, I'm going to go mad. And this pisses me off about number 12. And what else is there I could cover? The battle system is not revolutionary by any means. You can't dodge attacks. You can't. I thought that the battle system would be like Parasite Eve or Vagrant Story. where an enemy would, say an enemy would shoot a projectile attack, and if you ran out of the way and steered clear of the attack, it wouldn't hit you. Final Fantasy XII is not the case. If an enemy does an attack, it doesn't matter where you are or where you run to, it will catch you. Damage is not relevant to distance. So my thinking was, well, if I saw an enemy was ready in an attack, I'd run away. And I thought to myself, if I'm far from it, the damage will be less. No, it's not the case. And so it's like, so what's the point of even allowing your characters to run around? You might as well have them stationary like before. And the whole distance is relevant to damage thing is really stupid, because from 6 right up to number 10, that was the case. You could have party members on the front row or the back row. If they were on the front row, they'd deal greater damage, but they'd receive greater damage. If they was on the back row, they'd deal less damage, but would receive less damage. So you'd think by allowing your characters to freely move around, they would implement that somewhat, but they don't. And that's really annoying. The gambit system is really cool. I do like it, because it kind of... The gambit system is pretty much like basic AI. You set a stipulation or a rule for your characters. Say, if one of the party members dies, bring them back to life. If this character's health drops below 20%, give them more life. Stuff like that. And it's really cool because it saves you having to keep going through menus and doing stuff yourself. For the most part, because battles can get really hectic in this game sometimes, especially when you're dealing with a lot of enemies at once. So the battle system for the most part works. I think it could do with some tweaking and it could have been better, but for the most part it works. I mean, you can just let them, I mean, when your characters get really powerful, you don't even really have to step in, because the gambit system will work everything out for you. But another problem with the game's battle, though, is related to the battle system, is the way you level up your characters. Now, you get something called a license board. For anyone that's played Final Fantasy X, it's pretty much the same as the sphere grid, except it's called a license board. Now, your character cannot use a spell, use an item, use an accessory, or do anything unless you give them the license to do it by activating the space on this board. So say you've gone into a shop and you've seen a cure spell. You're like, cool, that'll be handy, I'll buy that. You won't be able to use it unless you access it on the license board. And this is what takes the piss, because you can't use a weapon. You can't equip a weapon unless you've got the license for it. You can't equip a shield unless you've got the license for it. You can't equip armor unless you've got a license for it. You can't use a spell unless you've got the license for it. You can't use a summon or powerful attacks unless you've got the license for them. And this is what's shit. Absolute shit. Because very early on in the game, you're not able to do much. And you'll find that at certain points in the game, you'll have all these weapons and all these spells and all this armor, but no license to use them. So you can't equip them. And this is shit. And not only this, but all of the characters can use the same weapons and the same items if they've got the licenses to do so, which means there is no individuality. In actual fact, you could have all of your characters using the exact same weapons, the exact same armor, and the exact same shields. And this wasn't something you could do in previous Final Fantasy games. You could share accessories and spells, but say one character would only be able to use a sword, another character would only be able to use a gun, another character would fight with their bare hands, and that was it. You could give them different weapons, but you weren't able to share weapons across characters. But you can do this in Final Fantasy XII. So, I mean, some people might like that system. I don't, because I think it detracts from the individuality characters have. And another problem with this whole weapon thing is that it's not even a case of... It wouldn't be so bad if, say, for instance, one character was better with swords than another character. Or say if you give a certain character a particular weapon, they might do low damage with it, but you give it to someone else, they'll do high damage. It's not even like that. It's just, if a weapon is powerful, it's powerful. If it's weak, it's weak. It doesn't matter who you give it to. So there's this lack of individuality between characters, because you can just give them the same spells, the same weapons, the same armor, and it's all jiggy. My advice to you, wait until it goes into the cheapo platinum range, or if you have a friend who is willing to lend you the game, borrow it. I know for sure, when I've completed this game, if any of my friends want to borrow it, they can just take it. I already said to one of my friends, he was like, oh, I might buy Final Fantasy XII. I said, don't, wait until I complete it, I will lend it to you. Game is crap. It's such a boring game. My aim is to get it completed by next week. I think that's doable, if I actually take the time to play it. But the problem with Final Fantasy XII is the game is so boring, I don't really want to play it. Shit game. And I stick my middle finger up at any of those reviewers out there that gave the game a perfect 10 or a 9 and had the audacity to compare it to Final Fantasy VII. This game isn't even in the same league. Final Fantasy X is 10 times better than 12. And that's, for me to say that, that is something. All of my gaming friends and my friends that are into Final Fantasy, we all hated number 10. But 10's brilliant compared to number 12. And that's not a lie, that's not even a joke. If you haven't played a Final Fantasy game before, but you actually played number 12 and you enjoyed it, my advice to you, play number 10. Final Fantasy X is a much better game. The battle system in number 10 was solid, it was airtight, and also the summons. Now in Final Fantasy XII, the summons are near enough redundant, they're useless. I don't ever use them, I don't see the point. Now even though the summons look really cool in Final Fantasy XII, you wait until you see them in number 10, they look 10 times better. And also, a lot of the summons that were in Final Fantasy X, they're well-known ones. The ones that usually crop up across a lot of Final Fantasy games. In Final Fantasy XII, you probably hear the name Shiva, Ifrit, Bahamut. Those are kind of a wink-wink and a nudge-nudge to the names of well-known Final Fantasy summons. Shiva, Ifrit, and Bahamut are probably three of the most popular ones, because they've appeared in the most games. They were in Final Fantasy VII, VIII, IX, and X. So there you go. My advice to anyone out there that liked number 12 but hasn't played number 10, buy number 10. And you haven't really got an excuse not to, because it's on the PlayStation 2, the graphics look just as good, and it'll probably be really cheap now. I think Final Fantasy 10 is definitely on Platinum, so you'll be able to pick it up really cheap. And if you actually want to go way back, play number 7. The graphics are very crude, but it's a brilliant game, it's fantastic. Final Fantasy 12 is crap, don't buy it. Save your money, wait until a friend of yours completes it, and then borrow it. It's a crap game, really crap. Rent it, don't buy it, it's crap. Crap game, I just can't wait till I complete it. I just want this, oh my god, it's depressing me, so I'm just going to stop talking about it. Final Fantasy XII is toilet paper, that's what it is. I wipe my ass with pages of the manual, I wipe my ass with the disc. Rubbish game. So this is cool. So these are the random rambles of Jay. So I've decided to make it a bit more random. I'm just going to talk about random stuff that has kind of filtered into my knowing. The first thing is that this redheaded guy that's always posting on comments on my blog, he's gone Harry Potter crazy. I mean, I check his blog and it's just like Harry Potter trailer after Harry Potter trailer after Harry Potter trailer. It's going to be crazy when this book and this film comes out. Now, I'm not sure if I've actually mentioned this before in previous Random Rambles, but I am a Harry Potter fan, a big, big Harry Potter fan, and it was actually my mum that got me into Harry Potter. I actually remember the first time I read the Harry Potter books. I went on holiday. I think it was 2001 that I first read the book. I could be completely wrong, but I do think it was 2001. Yeah, it was, I'm right. 2001, I went on holiday. And before my mum and I boarded the plane, my mum went in WH Smith's, which, for those of you who don't know, is like a stationery / bookstore. And she picked up Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And yeah, I think that was the only book she picked up. And I was like, what's that? She was like, oh, it's Harry Potter. I was like, oh, I've heard about that. She was like, yeah, someone at work was mentioning it to me, how one of his kids is a big fan of the book and he loves it and he recommended I read it. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I picked up a copy as well. And my mum was like, there's no point both of us buying the same copy of the book. I was like, oh, but I want my own copy. She said, you can have this when I'm done with it. But why don't you buy the second one? So I was like, all right then. And I bought The Chamber of Secrets. And once we hit our destination, my mum started reading the book and so did I. And I fell in love with it big time. I mean, constantly I began to my mum like, I go into my mum's room like, oh mum, you never guess what, this book's wicked, I love it. And it was awkward having conversations about the book, because she was reading the first one, I was reading the second. So she was only able to tell me so much about the first book, and I was only able to tell her so much about the second. But I absolutely fell in love with the books from then on. And I think I'd read both, I think I read the first two books about 3 times. And the reason being, whilst I was out on holiday, I could not find a bookstore that had the next two Harry Potter books. So I was like, oh, I want to read book number 3 and book number 4. And I was on holiday for, I think, 5 weeks. And I remember whenever we'd see a bookstore, we'd run in. Whenever we'd go to a supermarket or a mall, we'd run through. No Harry Potter books anywhere. So fast forward to when we're touching down back home. And as soon as I come out of the terminal, the first shop I see is a WH Smith's. And I just left my trolley with my suitcase and everything, ran into the shop and bought Prisoner of Azkaban and the Goblet of Fire. And as I was walking through the airport making my way out, I'd already started reading the third book. And during the taxi ride home, I'd already done like a quarter of the book, read that in 2 days, and then Goblet of Fire, finished that in about 3. And from then on, I was just a huge Harry Potter fan. So I'm really looking forward to the new book and really looking forward to the next film. And the films are quite interesting because they kind of go for a different director every time. The first two films were directed by Chris Columbus, and they were cool films. The only thing about the first two films I knocked them for is the acting was pretty whack, especially Daniel Radcliffe. I don't want to upset any fans, but I don't think he's a natural actor. He seems very stiff, especially next to the likes of Emma Watson and Rupert Grint, who are just, they're just naturals. Even from the first film, they just outshone Daniel, and they continue to. But the interesting thing about the films is it's cool to see how they interpret the books, because obviously they're not able to leave everything in and they do make changes. So it's interesting to see how faithful to the book they stay. And it's also interesting because you could take a script, give it to about 10 different directors, and each of them will have a different vision for the film. And I find that very interesting. And in terms of cinematography and the overall look of the films, I think my favourite was probably The Prisoner of Azkaban. Stunning looking film. Brilliant. I just loved what... Oh, who directed that? Alfonso something. Oh good, let me check now. Is it Alfonso Cuarón or something like that? Where is it? Yeah, I was right. Alfonso Cuarón directed the third film, and I loved The Prisoner of Azkaban. I think from the cinematography in that film was amazing. There, that's the word I was looking for. The cinematography in The Prisoner of Azkaban, I thought, was brilliant. I loved how dark it looked, and the transitions from shot to shot. It really did look so different from a style perspective compared to the other two films. Absolutely loved it, and the Quidditch match in that just looked brilliant as well. Really, really brilliant looking films. And the trailer to The Order of the Phoenix looks really cool. It looks like they've gone for that dark tone that ran throughout The Prisoner of Azkaban. So I would definitely be going to see that day of release. Even if it means I have to go and see it on my own, I will go and see that film day of release because it looks really cool. And so, yeah, Jun Lee's having his own little Harry Potter mania blowout on his blog. It's like every post is like Harry Potter this, Harry Potter that. I'm like, oh God, give it a rest. But there's that, and this is me completely flipping the script on you now. PlayStation 3 is now out in the UK. It came out a while ago. How long has the PS3 been out now? God, almost a month. The PlayStation 3 card been out a month already. God, it has. Yeah, I think it came out the 23rd of March, didn't it? That's crazy. Time has absolutely flown. But the PlayStation 3 was released in the UK last month, and the reception was lukewarm, to say the least. It's really weird. I don't really get how it works, because the PlayStation 3 shifted, I think, 165,000 units in its first weekend, which meant that it broke records and became the second fastest selling console in the UK. I think I say UK because I don't think it's across Europe. I think it's specifically the UK. But the response was so lukewarm. So I wondered to myself, what's going on there? It's really odd. Because, I mean, with the Nintendo Wii, it broke records and sold shitloads, and there was evidence of that everywhere. Even now, you walk through a video game store, there's no Wii's in stock. No Wii's in stock. You go on Play.com, no Wii's. Amazon, no Wii's. The Wii's continuing to sell. But it never broke records like the PlayStation 3 did. Then you got the PlayStation 3, which has broken records, sold 160,000 units in its opening weekend, but yet no one really cares. And I don't, none, as far as I know, none of my getting tongue twisted and I'm sniffling, I've got a cold. As far as I know, none of my friends have PlayStation 3s, yet the majority of them have Wii's. So it's kind of like, how did Sony manage to shift so much, yet the UK isn't exuding this kind of excitement for the console? I don't understand that. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know on my blog and in previous podcasts, I've kind of been like very anti-Sony, but I own a PlayStation 2 and I love that console. It's probably the one console I play the most. Even though I have a Wii, the PS2 is the one I usually end up switching on because I actually have games for it. But it pissed me off a little, but I found it really hard to kind of fathom the fact that so many people were moaning about the price of the PlayStation 3. There was moaning that there weren't going to be any decent games at launch. And then they moaned that Sony released the PlayStation 3 months, November, December, January, February, March, 4 months after it released in the US and Japan. There was hating on this console, blowing up the internet with their hatred towards this console. Yet over 160,000 people went out and bought it on launch at the UK. And it's kind of like, my argument towards that always was, and my concern was, that if Sony don't learn their lesson, they're going to keep doing this, releasing consoles at a higher price and releasing them late. And that was something that I rambled on, not only in my previous podcast, but also on my blog on the weekend that the PS3 launched. I was like, you know, UK gamers, you really need to take note, because manufacturers and developers, they price their consoles according to the market. Sony priced their console at £450 because they knew people would buy it, and they did. And the point that I was trying to make is, if £450 is too much to pay for a console, and I don't give a toss about if it plays Blu-ray, if it has a cell processor, if it has all this stuff going on inside it, £450 for a console in this day and age is far too expensive. And my concern always was, if 160,000 people go out and buy this overpriced console and allow Sony to break records and have one of the fastest selling consoles in the UK, then what justification would Sony then have to drop the price of their next console? They're not going to, are they? Because as far as Sony are concerned, they can price a console as high as they like and there will still be a market for it. And that was the problem I had. In my opinion, people should not have rushed out and bought it so quickly. Even if you left it for a week. Because at least then Sony would think, crap, we messed up with the price. We really messed up with the price. We're either going to have to slash it, or when the PlayStation 4 comes around, we're definitely going to have to think about how we can drop the price of it. And that was always my concern. Sony never learn. By going out and allowing their console to break records, every one of you that went and bought a PlayStation 3, in my opinion, you just allowed Sony to shit on you, and you just wiped it off like, oh, but I don't care because it's Sony shit, it smells like roses. And it's like, what message are you sending out? What message are you sending out? Basically, you're saying to Sony, you can release what you like, when you like, as high a price as you like, and us f***ers will still go out and buy it. I'm not hating on Sony outright, because I will buy a PlayStation 3, but I will not go out and buy one until that price is slashed in half. I don't care if I have to wait 2 years. And Metal Gear Solid can be the best game in the world. It can, and Final Fantasy 13 can be the best Final Fantasy game ever made. I'm still not going to go and spend over £300 on that console. £429.99 on a console is too much. I don't care if it plays Blu-ray, if it has a cell processor, if it has a hole that you can shove your willy in and it gives you head. I'm not paying that amount for a console. No way. No way. Sony may be able to swindle and jade a lot of you gamers out there, but it doesn't work with me, I'm afraid. I also mentioned that the PlayStation 3 was the second biggest selling console in the UK. Would you like to know what the first is? The PSP. And so, and The kind of marketing strategy and the way Sony approached the PSP is exactly the same as the way Sony have approached the PlayStation 3. Overpriced, no particular demographic or target audience, released it late. And as they did with the PlayStation 3, they really cracked down on importing. No games, pretty crap overall in comparison to what else is out on the market at the moment, and yet people still went out and bought it. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous how Sony can just disrespect their gamers, disrespect their consumers, and somehow still come out smelling of roses. I swear, at Sony HQ, life must feel so glamorous.
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 Don't buy a PSV and take your broke ass off. That's it. Don't buy a PSV and take your broke ass off.
For release, still are you suckers bought me 450 pounds. Leave you broke, you stupid clowns. Cheaper in the US, man, but we went and closed like saying you cannot import a thing. It was all part of our plan. PSN for all of y'all. Sims means we copy all. Sony and original don't fit the same sentence at all. Release late and release high. Don't matter, cause you will buy Sony brands as well as regardless. And because of you, we are now
first place in the UK, 60,000 people by man, number one. I won't change. PlayStation 3, blouse. We're number one, number one, number one. Sony's number one, number one, number one. Sony's number one, number one, number one. Number one. Sony's number one, blouse, blouse.
Everybody needs to see when it comes. PS3, don't matter how much we fuck up, you'll buy it anyway. Whether we release it late or we release it on day, silly bitches will be waiting in the wings to pay. Sony brand is really strong, you should have known all along. No matter how we roll this shit, we smell the roses, man. Who is it that could make you buy a console that is priced so high, whose price just isn't justified? You know that Sony can.
So recently I bought Hotel Dusk for my Nintendo DS, and I love this game. I absolutely love this game. I'm kind of getting a bit bored with consoles now. There isn't really anything. Oh, well, most of the games that I want, they're not out for quite some time. So there's this kind of void in my gaming life where I've had nothing to play. So I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to buy Hotel Dusk for my DS. I'm going to get back into my DS. And Hotel Dusk was a game that, the first time I laid eyes on it, I thought, I want that game. It looked so stylized and so original, and it's the kind of game that I like. So I decided to pick it up, and I'm glad I did. Really glad I did. The past couple of games that I've bought in the past haven't really whet my gaming appetite, as it were, but Hotel Dusk is fantastic. And I've only scratched the surface of it. I think the game is broken up into chapters. I've only just completed the first chapter. Because the way I play Hotel Dusk, I usually play it every other day, and I usually, before I go to bed, I might sit up in bed and play it for like 20 minutes to half an hour. Or I played it in the toilet the other day. That's probably too much information. But I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm so tired that by the time I get off the toilet, it was late at night, I was in the toilet. I thought, you know what? As soon as I come off this toilet, I'm just going to go straight to bed. So I may as well get a few 10-15 minute session in while I'm on the toilet. So I did. It's one of those kind of games, really. You know, it's one of those laid back, easy going games you can play before you go to bed, or on the toilet if you wish, on the train. During one of those moments where you perhaps don't have much to do, it's that kind of game you can really get into very easily. And it's just a brilliant game. It looks fantastic. It's all like sketchbook style. So if any of you have seen the video for Aha's Take on Me, then you'll know the kind of style I'm talking about, that kind of sketchbook anime.
Excuse me,
that kind of sketchbook animated style. It looks brilliant. And you kind of hold your DS vertically like a book, and you kind of use your stylus and you ask questions. It's very film noir, very Warner Brothers film noir kind of detective style, and it's a fantastic game. If any of you listening to this own a Nintendo DS and you haven't already picked up this game, I can't recommend it enough. Like I said before, I've only scratched the surface of it, and I've got nothing but positive things to say about this game. Brilliant. The characters are brilliant. The dialogue is funny, it's witty. The dialogue is natural. It flows very naturally. The main character is badass. I love this character, Kyle Hyde. K-Y-L-E-H-Y-D-E, Kyle Hyde. He's a bad character. He's kind of like, do you know who reminds me of? Solid Snake. He has that I don't give a shit attitude, and he just talks to people like shit. Like, there's one bit in the game where you're walking up the hotel stairs and there's a girl sitting on the stairs playing with a puzzle, and he just goes to her, move. She's like, excuse me? He said, move. Why? Because I said so. It's that kind of attitude that he has. This is brilliant. There's this girl in the hotel that you come across, and she doesn't talk. And there's this Spanish guy, or Latino guy, I don't know if he's Spanish, I think he's Latino, and he kind of talks to your main character like, oh, don't you think she's hot? Don't you think she's a fox? And he's like, no. And the other guy goes, why not? And he goes, I like a girl that can hold a conversation. And it's just things like that that the characters have come out with. It just makes you laugh because they're natural conversations. And you think to yourself, I've actually had that conversation before. Brilliant game. I've got to wake up really early tomorrow, as it goes. So I'll definitely be giving that a 20 to 30 minute play before I head off to bed tonight, because it's a brilliant, brilliant game. I really, really like it. It's going to be sad when it's all over, because it's not really the kind of game you probably go through again. But so far, so good. It's a brilliant game. Really, really cool game. And this is not a plea, but an announcement to any of you out there that have got DSs. I'd say definitely get into your DS gaming. There's some fantastic games coming out. Some fantastic games that are out. And Hotel Dusk is definitely one of those. Be sure to pick it up. So the Random Rambles of Jay number 8 comes to a close. Aww. It's really weird because for months I was thinking to myself, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to put in podcast number 8. And then once I kind of got that, I don't know how to put it, but there was a day in the week where I woke up and I thought, right, I've got this to say, that to say, I'm going to do this, and I hopped on the mic, and everything seemed to kind of just fall into place, and I was like, oh, I got this idea and that idea, and oh, I know, and then before I know it, Random Ramble number 8 is complete, and it's out there, and you're listening to it. So I don't know, I guess with me, the hardest thing about most things for me is just starting it, but once I kind of get in the thick of it and I get going, I'm alright. I kind of feel like I've hit the ground running. So yay, I'm excited. I finally got number 8 out. Don't hold me to what I'm about to say, but hopefully Random Ramble 9 will come to you much sooner. I'm not really looking to have 2 month gaps between every Random Ramble, but you know, shit happens, life goes on, and things don't always go according to plan. But I actually have a kind of idea what I'm up to. I mean, actually, do you know what I'll do before I finish this random ramble? I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing between now and random ramble number 9. I have to mention Spider-Man 3. Really can't wait to see that film. It releases next week, I think. Yeah, next week. My friend sent me a text on Monday. He sent me a text message to my phone like, oh, do you want to go and see Spider-Man 3? And I texted him straight back like, for sure. For sure. I said to him, we best get the tickets from now. And I've actually got a shoot out in a bit, so I might phone him and say, let's go and get the tickets. Because I want to see Spider-Man day of release. Saturday, the latest. But I want to see that film opening night. That is my mission. So I may shoot out today and buy some tickets for that. It's been so long since I've been to the cinema, so I really can't wait to see that. And then also Harry Potter. I mean, random ramble number 9 will probably be out. There's a high chance number 9 will drop before the Harry Potter film or the book releases. Definitely. But I'm really looking forward to that. And also playing Hotel Dusk and completing Final Fantasy 12 is definitely at the top of my to-do list. That's a priority. I just want that game done and dusted. Because I hate having games in my... I hate having games that are kind of hanging over me that need to be completed. And it's like I've clocked so many hours in that game. It's like I just need it to end. I need it to end. I can't clock all those hours in that game and then not complete it. No way. So, bum, that's all I've got to say, really. Be sure to check out my blog at www.i-am-random-j.blogspot.com. I think that's right. If not, then, well, I just screwed myself. But be sure to check out my blog. I need to change that URL. It's not the most memorable, is it? Just the easy way to remember it, it's I am random J, and each word is separated by a hyphen. So I am random J.blogspot.com. Would have been easier if I just took the hyphens out of the URL, wouldn't it? Yeah. But feel free to check out my blog. And if you can't live without these podcasts and you need these in your life, then use my blog as a stopgap, because even though I may not drop podcasts regularly, I do update my blog regularly. I'm always checking people's comments. I always respond to comments. Please do check out my blog. It'd be cool to know who you are and hear from some of you. It'd be nice to know that I've got more than one listener. That would be really nice. So feel free to drop comments on my blog, email me, whatever floats your boat. And I'll speak to you when I speak to you. Until next time, take care, be safe, keep gaming, and I will catch you soon. Bye. Daddy.